We're going to talk about, you can see, no land like this land. Of course, we'll be talking spiritually speaking, of a place God prepared for us that's eternal, that's forever. A land not like this land, but a land of peace and rest and hope and joy. We're all just passing through right now, church. We're passing through. We're sojourning right now through this land. None of us will be here forever. It's a passing through stage to a better place. A place, I just want to read, there's no more sorrow, no more grief, no more pain. You know, here in America, I think one reason that we have lost our eye and ear to what's happening in our country is because of the prosperity and wealth and comfort that we live in. We live like no other nation when it comes to wealth. No other nation touches America when it comes to wealth and prosperity. Not even close. And sometimes we get so comfortable in our lives that we fail to recognize what's really around us. You know, when the Mayflower sailed, 1620, if you do a little history of that and read about that, it's about 102 passengers and about 25 or 30 crew. During the first winter, half of those that traveled died. Half of them died through disease, the harsh winter, things like pneumonia, scurvy, tuberculosis killed these people. Took them over 2 months to travel from England to America on that ship. Waves crashing it, waves beating it. Think about the courage it took for these men, women, to get on this ship and to take that journey to a place they didn't know. Totally by faith, to board a ship, knowing they're going to have to battle the weather, the elements, disease, food shortage, and to land somewhere they didn't know what they really were going to find, but that had to get away from that tyranny so bad they were willing to risk it. A lot of history of why we're here. A lot of history. And every season of service is important. From the Revolutionary War to David Lee being in Iraq and Afghanistan. Every season is important. Everyone's imperative to keep America the nation that it is. But I'm very thankful that this isn't where we're going to always be. I'm so thankful this isn't our final land. It is a final land yet to come for God's people. There's a land to come that's eternal and that's forever. That won't pass away. Won't have to fight to try to defend it or keep it. There'll be no sin or deception there. There'll be no more misery or pain there. It's a place that we call the kingdom of God or heaven. It's a place where we leave this earth that we spend eternity. And we are an eternal being. That's why when a spirit leaves a body, the body dies. The body and the flesh cannot sustain life apart from the spirit. So our spirit doesn't die. Our spirit moves on. Our spirit goes somewhere else. Our spirit's very much alive. We went to see Virgil, me and Melanie, Friday. It'll probably matter days. Could be tomorrow. I mean, it's days now. Can't even talk. He's not eating over a week. He's probably down to 90 pounds. I mean, he's like a skeleton laying there. And we were sitting there talking to him. There were several times he was laying in bed. He was doing this. Like that. Do y'all know what that means? He's seeing something. He's reaching for something. To him, it's so real. And people can say what they want. It's not medication. It's not drugs. The only thing they're giving them is just to, you know, to make them comfortable. My grandpa did the same thing. But Virgil was reaching out, and then he would let go. And then he would reach back out. And Ray said he'd been doing that for a couple days. There's something out there that we're hungry to get to. You know why people seek so much earthly pleasure? Because we're not satisfied. We're not complete, really. That's why we turn to other stuff, whether it's sex or drugs or alcohol or parties or whatever it is we turn to, because we're not satisfied. Because we're not truly complete unless we're in Christ. And even when we're in Christ, there's still that longing for something more. Because we know that it's almost like subconsciously we know we're supposed to be forever, but we're not right now, not in the physical sense, but we will be. And there's that veil that God has for us to cross into, that the curtain's removed and we see the glory of God for all that it is. I'm so thankful this earth isn't all that holds us, but that we can let go and trust God has something better for us to walk into. That's why we celebrate the death of a saint. That's why truly we celebrate that for them. We say, man, they went behind the veil. They've seen the fullness of glory. They've left this behind. They've inherited all they believed in and spoke about and held on to all these years. Their time has come. What are they seeing? What are they doing? Where are they at right now? The ones that we love, what are they really doing? I know this, they're very alive and they're very well and they're very aware and they're very alert. And there's no more death cycle for them ever to go through again. The age process stopped and the eternal one began when they crossed over. There's no more decay. There's no more pain. No more sorrow. No more struggle. Nothing. It's past. There's no land like this land. We sing songs about it. We pray about it. We read about it. But the world seems to go on, especially America, to go on and like there's nothing past today. America is probably, not say one of, but it's in the minority of actually supernatural experiences. And I've said this before, other nations understand there's a supernatural realm. Once again, I think we become so comfortable with the things in life that we've lost our dependence on that supernatural force. I mean, think about it. Our needs are met. Even the poorest person here this morning financially is still wealthy compared to most nations. Wealthy. We each have a place to live. We each eat every day. Most of us have a vehicle to drive. We have clothes on our backs. We have medical care of some sort that we can get to. And so all that sometimes clouds our dependency on, you know, on the things of God. And we don't seek that next level. God, there's got to be more than just this. I'm in my green pasture and I'm stuffing myself with this and that. But there's got to be something more, something deeper than this. And there is. And we find out as it comes near our time, all the money in the world can't save us. We've seen many people that we know had plenty of money to heal themselves if they could have, die of disease, die of tragedy, die in plane crashes, die of, you know, cancer, that they can't cure themselves. So what's for them after that? Either heaven or hell. But we do go on to live somewhere. There's no land like this land. Let's read Revelation 21, beginning with verse 1. This is John, and God is showing him a revelation here. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Think back to the moment, men, if you're married, and even, well, if you're happily married, think back to the moment when your bride walked through those double doors up that aisle. I'll never forget it. It was a very impactful moment in my life to see Melanie walking up that church aisle in her bride dress. In fact, I remember as the music played, you know, dun, 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 dun. The door swung open, and my little angel walked in the door. I was at the already up front, of course, and I looked back, and I immediately began to tear up, and I had to get a hold of myself. I had to suck it up. Can't lose it. She lose it, not me. Suck it up. But when she came through those doors, I don't know, there was just some, it's like an ambience, like a hallelujah moment, like a, you know, eureka. The light bulb goes off, the heavens open, the gates swing wide, and, you know, just an angelic choir was singing. And I still feel that way most days. But that day, I definitely felt that way. And I seen her walk up the aisle. She was prepared and adorned for me. And she was old school wedding dress. And it was, of course, white, which meant something at one time. white, and she actually had the veil that covered her face. Do y'all young women even know what the veil is anymore? I'm not. Is that still a thing? Does anybody do a veil anymore? But Melanie had the veil. And so to kiss the bride, you have to remove the veil. See, you know what the veil represents? There was separation between me and Melanie, as far as really spiritually. We hadn't come together as one yet. So that veil was a separation. I couldn't touch her, so to speak. Couldn't touch her. So the veil was lifted, and I could have the prize. She was mine. It's honeymoon time. So we hit the Firebird, and we're heading to Florida. Why I picked so far away, I don't know. But Florida's where I picked. It's awesome. That's how heaven is. It's what John is saying. I see this city prepared for us. God prepared this land for us to walk into, just for us to see. And nobody knows what it really looks like. Nobody knows what we're going to experience. I mean, we hear preaching and stuff, and I don't dare preach on it because I don't know. We hear preaching on the streets of gold and Jasper Gates, and I'm going to be honest, I'm a little deeper than that. I'm not saying there's not gold, literally gold streets, but I'm just a little deeper than that. And I realize a lot of this is symbolic of what is we're going to inherit. I just know it's going to be doggone good. That's what I know. I know it's going to be immaculate. I know it's going to be something our eyes haven't seen, sounds our ears haven't heard, an experience that we've never experienced before. That I believe in. It's going to be nothing like what we have here. It's going to be, I believe there's going to be colors. There's going to be creation. Animals that we've never seen. It's going to be just a whole different rim that we're going to cross into. And God's prepared this for us. This land God's prepared for us as a bride is for his groom. It's decked out. It's ready. It's prepared. And we are going to inhabit it if we have faith in Christ. We're going to walk in that. This isn't it. You may look in the mirror and see the wrinkles and the gray hair or no hair. And you may look in there and say, man, what happened to the guy that walked down that aisle in 1992? Because he is gone. He is out of here. He has left the building. I don't see him no more. You know what? This isn't who we are. Our house isn't who we really are. Just like what you drive is not who you are. Or a house you live in is not who you are. That's not who you are. You can't really define, people say they can, you can't define a person by the way they look on the outside. You can't define a person by the car they drive or the house they live in. You don't know who they really are. The real them's inside. The real them's inside. So when our spirit leaves this tabernacle, our spirit is ageless. See, our soul is ageless. There is no age in our soul. Our soul doesn't age and grow old. Our soul doesn't expire in time. Our soul doesn't get wrinkles and gray hair and get old and crippled and can't walk and arthritis and mind issues and body. Our soul is completely not subject to that because our soul is eternal. Our soul can't be touched. It's our flesh that has the effect. It's our flesh that grows weak. When we prayed for Virgil Friday, I prayed the prayer that just he's got something good waiting on him. You know, I said, just you go see something good, and Lord, let him just see whatever you have prepared for him and enjoy that and just be able to let go and receive that and know that it's okay. You're not really dying. You're going to really start living. See, when we go to heaven, it's not that death really cancels. It's not that death takes us. It's that life takes us. It's really what it is. Because our flesh will not remain eternal unless we are here when Jesus returns. And then, yes, we that are alive remain shall be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. But if we're not one of those, we're still going to be changed in the moment and the twinkling of an eye. Because at any moment, when our soul leaves our body, there is no separation from God's love. The Bible's clear on that. There's no separation. You don't have to fear what happens when I stop breathing. Do I go here? Am I waiting on God? What am I going to see? I know. I just believe with all of my heart that we never don't not see the face of God. It's just there to take us. And I think that's why we see these people begin to reach out and try to grasp something. See, Virgil was seeing something. He even though he was in a room probably, he was seeing something else much greater. He was had his arm out and he'd bring it back and put his arm out and bring it back. And what was he reaching for? Something good. Something so wonderful. That's what's waiting on us. That's our promise as Christians. And that's why I say that we have to trust God and serve God first. Yes, we obey the laws of the land. Yes, we honor authority. But if it contradicts God's word, then no, we don't. If it contradicts God's word, then no, we don't just fall in line and say, yes, 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 yes. We say, hang on. What does God's word say? We have to honor God first, and God will honor us if we do that. We can't compromise because somebody says, we can't do something. You can't say, Jesus, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. This woman in Texas, got fired at a bank. She lost her job because she was telling customers to have a blessed day. Are you serious? You can't say have a blessed day? Well, it makes people feel uncomfortable. They complain. People are complaining to the bankers about she makes me feel uncomfortable when she says that. Well, really? What do you... there you go. I mean, what do you want her to say? Have a cursed day in Satan's name. Would that make them feel better? I mean, really? Unbelievable. Verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. I truly believe we are going. I mean, we can only see God in a very limited way right now, can't we? We see him in his creation. Every time we see the sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, the clouds, we see who God is. But think about this. I believe we're going to experience God on a personal level that we meet him. We talk to him. He's there. It's like how you go home to your family, your kids are there, and your wife is there. We're going to walk in, and boom, there's God. What does he look like? I don't know. I'm not going to try to be one of these brainy preachers and try to preach that because I don't know. What kind of form will he have? I don't know. I just know when I cross over, I will see him face to face and know he is my God. I know that. And all that I believed in and trusted in and preached all these years, I will see the one I preached about and bow down and say, worthy is my Lamb who was slain for my sins. Holy is the Lamb of God. That I believe in. Don't know. See, all those things don't matter to me. People get too tripped up on that stuff, trying to give everything detail. I mean, there's people that'll tell you what heaven looks like because they know. I don't know. Nobody knows. I mean, we've had these stories, I know, people come back and say, I saw this, and I believe in those experiences. But you know what? Each one of us will have our own experience. So my story will be different than Carrie's story. Carrie's probably going to walk over, and it's going to be the most beautiful courtroom in history. Big golden pillars, and the judges with long white robes to the black robes, and welcome, Carrie. You are acquitted and not guilty. Come on in, my child. I mean, all of us will have different experiences, whatever your thing is, you know? Karina will probably walk in, and it'll be black and gold. Welcome to Stiller Nation. You have entered the zone. She's ready to go now. Take me, God. Each one of us are going to have a different experience. I truly believe that. We're not all going to see the same thing. It's not like when we go to the fireworks show, we're all, you know, there's a thousand people around, and we're all seeing the same fireworks. You know, each one of us are going to have our own fireworks. Whatever it is that God has purposed for us to see. Whatever's wrapped in our little gift. Because God knows our desires, and God's going to give us that desire. Just like you give your kids, if you can, what they want for their birthday. You know what they want. If you know that your child hates coconut, let's just say, they hate coconut cake. Who hates coconut? A few of you. You hate coconut. Don't like it at all. So how would Chuck feel if he knew I knew that, and on his birthday, I brought to his house and says, here you go, Chuck. Coconut cake. Triple layer coconut. Inside and out. That would be foolish. He don't like coconut. See, God's going to give us what he knows will bless us. What he knows that we want and desire. So each of us have got our own thing. And that place isn't that far away. That land for any of us isn't very far away. And if you're 10 years old, it's not that far away in the scheme of eternity. And some of us are a lot closer than others. But we all that have placed our faith in Christ will inherit this land. And there's no land like this land. Verse 4. God shall wipe all tears from their eyes. All tears. What does this indicate? No more sorrow. Oh, the burdens we carry in the earth. What if you could bottle up every teardrop you cried in your lifetime and sell them? Think about all the tears you've cried. Sorrow. All the grief that we've borne. Sorrow for those that have, you know, that we've lost in death. Sorrow for broken marriages. Sorrow for rebellious children. Sorrow for lost jobs. Sorrow for national tragedies. Whatever we have shed tears and pain over. I remember 9/11, Tuesday morning, 9 o'clock. I remember. Mom called me, sent the news, said, no, turn it on. And I remember seeing that morning, and for the next few days, the heaviness and the weight that all of us as Americans experienced. The weight, the enormity of that grief, to realize these were people like me and you, walking to work, going to their office that morning, never expecting what was to happen. Some died instantly. You see images of them jumping out of windows. You see bodies flying down 60, 70 stories to their death. I think about the ones that have not died instantly but were trapped for a while and knew they were going to die. How torturous that would be. Stuck in a stairwell, stuck in an elevator, stuck under debris and knew they would never be rescued before it just completely was destroyed. Their lives changed. And the grief we carried and the tears that were shed in this nation for a long time, reminding us how precious life really is and how quickly it can be gone. And of course, as a Christian, I immediately think about all the souls that were lost in death that day. Did they know you, God? There's no more chance to hear Billy Graham. There's no more chance to go to church that Sunday. There's no more chance to hit their knees and call upon you. How many of them that day rejected you and they're lost? We never know when that time's going to come. And that's why we need to be prepared ourselves. Prepare to see Jesus. Prepare to walk in this city. No more sorrow. And look at the next part. There'll be no more death. No more death. You know, death is something we all, I think, in our human hearts, to a certain degree, dread. I think by the time you become any age at all, you begin to think some about death. How long will I live? And you start thinking about, okay, well, my grandparents lived in their 70s. So I got a good chance of at least living that long. Or the 80s or whatever. You know, my dad died in the 40s. My mom died in her 50s. You start calculating that. Start almost putting a date on it. You know? And even we put a date on it, you know? I mean, how many of you have said, you know, Lord be willing, I probably got a good 10 years left. You start dating it. 10 years. And you start worrying. We make wills to secure our assets. We start making plans for how we want to be buried. Songs we want sung. Hymns we want sung. Or scripture we want read. We start making plans because that's on our mind. Death's always on our mind. You know, we always say, I'm not going to be here forever. I even use that to my kids, you know, when they're sassing mama. You only got one mama. What if she wasn't here? What would you do? Better be nice to her. What if you didn't have that mama? We're always conscious of that death kind of hovering over us, aren't we? Following us around. You know, you ever thought about, you know, what's going to take you out in the world? We've all thought that, haven't we? What will I go from? And something I pray, because I'm a coward. I said, Lord, I don't want to suffer. When it's my time, let me go. Just, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to lay in agony and suffer and be in pain. God, I just want to go. However that is, Lord, I would love just to be at me Pablo's eating my cheese dip and chips and just all of a sudden find myself in heaven. Oh, wow. Must have had a heart attack, okay? Didn't feel it. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, you know, I just want to go. I don't want to suffer. And many do suffer, and we don't understand that. You know, I know Ray was telling me, Melon says, you know, I don't understand some things about how, you know, Burma going so young and such a godly woman and, you know, Virgil suffering the way he is. And he said, I don't understand a lot of things. I said, I know we don't. We don't understand a lot of things. But I know this, that my death here means my life there. That I know. And that I can appreciate. And I told, you know, Virgil, you know, or I think maybe Ray said something about it. So, you know, you'll be seeing Mama. You know, you'll be seeing Burma. And, you know, we'll be alone. And I believe that. I believe that we will know each other. I believe we'll know each other in this land. It's not just some vapor, ghostly land. It's not just some, you know, we're flying around. Woo! It's not like that. It's a real kingdom. When Adam and Eve were created, they were in the kingdom of God. Do you realize that? That was God's kingdom. They were never supposed to age or die or ever. They were supposed to live forever. But they sinned. They disobeyed God. And we know what happens when we disobey. Disobedience, rebellion, has a price. Don't care in what field it is, whether it's your child at home you disobey, whether you disobey the law, whether you disobey your rules at work. When you disobey, there's a price to pay. Adam and Eve disobeyed. They didn't listen to God, and they were cursed. And now we have this cursed on mankind, but thank God Jesus broke the curse. He redeemed us, the Bible says, from the curse because he hung on a tree for us, and now we're free from that curse. And now we have this great land waiting on us. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In other words, everything we know now is going to be gone. Whole new life. Roll back the curtain. Scratch it off. What you had here, don't expect it there. There'll be nothing alike. Everything's going to be gone. To live a life with no pain. Think about that. Think about the anxiety we carry as human beings. As a mother, I know you spend a lot of time, Carrie, thinking about your daughter's future. Worried about her probably at school. Worried about keeping off the right road, not getting with the wrong people. You worry about that probably already, thinking, though she's little, I'm sure you're thinking, you know, God, keep her from the wrong people. Keep her from the wrong avenues. And, you know, Lord, is she going to get through her teenage years and be okay? And is she going to, you know, not get caught up in this and this? And you just, it's almost like if you're a parent, you're holding your breath for about 20 years. That's what it's like. From the time they're born, and you're like holding your breath. And by the time maybe they're 20, hopefully, or so, you're like, okay, maybe they'll be all right now. Maybe. We've gotten through school, fist bump, high five. Yes. Whew, thank God. But that anxiety we carry, worrying about our children, worrying about our future, worrying about our finances, worrying about our health, the torment that comes from that. In this land, none of that's going to be there. No more torment, no more anxiety, no more pain, no more worry. Free from all that. That's a land God has waiting on us, and he paid the price that we could walk in that land and have that land and be a part of this land called the kingdom of God. When he first started his ministry, the first thing Jesus preached was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Change your ways, change your thinking, call upon me. Understand, you need forgiveness for what you've done. The kingdom of God is at hand. I am here, and I come to establish my kingdom that you could be a part of it. You know, we all, especially girls, which I'm a little, I like this too. I know my guy has to be tough and manly and all that, but I like Disney. I like Disney movies. Any other guys like any Disney movies? Thank you, Kevin. Thanks. Oh, I got a couple that manned up. All right. I like Disney movies, and there's times I might shed a tear or two. Little Lion King, when his dad got killed, that was sad. There was some emotional moments in that movie for me. And We picture, especially girls, like I said, the perfect princess life. How many of you would love to spend a night in the castle at Magic Kingdom? Wouldn't that be awesome? If I say I'm giving away a free ticket to spend one night in the castle at Magic Kingdom, oh, wouldn't that be awesome? Get to see Cinderella and Snow White. It's the perfect world, right? Where the birds are singing and everybody's smiling. Perfect. It's a perfect world. You know what? The kingdom of God is truly like that. Perfect world. All that junk that we suffer here is not going to travel with us. It's left behind. When Virgil gives up the ghost in his body, all of his problems stay here and they're buried. He travels on free from all those chains that's held him down for 70 plus years. That's gone. So you know what? We can look forward to this land. The Bible says we're pilgrims, we're sojourners, we're just passing through, but we're citizens in another land, really? See, our citizenship, the citizenship I have in God, overtakes the citizenship I have here in the earth. I carry two cards, so to speak, in my wallet, right? An American card, I'm an American citizen, and a kingdom card, I'm a kingdom citizen. And my kingdom citizen is the gold card. That's the one that's important, because that's the one that's eternal. No matter what happens to this nation, I'm not part of this nation, I'm part of God's nation. I'm part of His land. He's going to take care of me. He's going to provide for me and my family. He's going to make sure if I keep Him as my God and Lord, He's going to watch over me. But we got to make Him Lord and keep Him Lord. Verse 5, He said, He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. George Ann, wouldn't it be wonderful to walk in a place with no more pain? Your hip feels good, you can do the boogie-woogie again. Your knees feel all good. No more anxiety in your mind. No more worries. No more stressing over children. Whew. Just free. Just free. You ever watch a dog when you have it up, say you have it tied up on a chain or you got it in a kennel, and you come out and you let it loose? Good Lord. Things on speed. It's so glad to be free. It's probably thinking, thank God they finally saw me. They let me out. I'm free. I'm free. And they're just running around in circles and just, oh, it's just, our golden retriever sometimes will show off. And he'll get in the yard. He'll look at us and he'll just start doing circles. Just like a horse. He'll come back and look at us. Okay. You can run. Good. But he just does that. Nothing like being free when you've been bound. Free. And here is God saying, you're free. No more you'll be bound by your sin, by your pain, by all the stuff that's troubled you, but you're going to be free. No more heartbreak, no more heartache, no more stress. All that, all the former things are gone, and all things are new in this land. That's what's waiting on us if we're in Christ. If our faith in the one. Now, here's the thing. I'm not one of these liberal preachers that believe that any faith works. That you can just kind of believe in any deity and it'll get you there. We have a king. His name is Jesus. He's the one that birthed our kingdom. So if I don't believe in Jesus, how can I be a part of His kingdom? I've got to believe in the king, don't I? I mean, you know, we used to call somebody else the king, didn't we? A few years back. People still do. The king. That's on her car. She got a tag of that. And whose car is your car, right? Yeah, Chris's car. I was so impressed one day. I seen her car pull up, and she has a name tag on front of her car. And it says something about, what does it say? It says what? The king. Just says the king. It says the king. I thought, that is so nice. This young person is advertising the Lord. It's got a picture of Elvis on it. So, wrong king. I was like, man. Michael Jackson was called the King of Pop. That was Presley, the King of Rock. There's a lot of kings, so to speak. Some think our president's a king. Trying to be one sometimes. I'm going to tell you something. There's not but one king. His name is Jesus. He's the King of kings, the Bible says, and the Lord of lords. And above him there is none. He is above all, in all, and through all. And that's the kingdom that we're going to be a part of, and he is our king. So we must place our faith in him if we want to be a part of this land, this beautiful land that he has created. Next verse. Oh, yeah. He said, it is done. He said to me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. I give unto him that is thirsty of the fountain of the water of life freely. Jesus said, it's done. My kingdom is established. It's done. Nobody can't change it. Can't alter it. You can take off the crosses and you can not say Jesus. You can close down the churches and you can take away religious freedom and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But my kingdom's done. You can't stop my kingdom. Because when your soul leaves your body, that's one thing the government can't take. Is your soul. They might kill your flesh and kill your tax return, but they can't take your soul. Don't care how much they try to watch that. Because they've actually done studies on this in labs, people that were near death, of trying to track where the soul went. They've hooked up equipment trying to see when the last breath goes if they can track what happens to that inner man. They can't. Because a star track says it goes to a place far beyond. But that's not how it's quoted, but you know what I mean. Thank you very much, Mom. How she knows that's scary. Your soul goes to where no man's gone before. That's right. Yes, I said that already. Where no man's gone before. So they can't track it. So they can do all they want to us, but they can't have our soul. Because our soul belongs to Jesus. Have faith in that. Have confidence in that. No matter what happens around you, I belong to the King of Kings. He's got me. And nothing can take that away. Because however I die, whether it's martyred by my faith, whether it's in a tragedy or sickness, no matter how I leave this earth, I'm in the King's hands. And he's got me. So I won't fear what man tries to do unto me. Because God's got me. I like that part, too, the verse where it says, all that are thirsty, he'll give you water. He'll give you life. You know what the Word is telling us? For any that want me, you can have me. For any that want what I have, I'll give it to you. It's free. Don't cost nothing. It don't cost anything. I've paid the price in full for you to have this living water. And when I give you this living water, you'll never thirst again. It satisfies you. Satisfies you completely. That's what we need. Because we're in a generation of people trying to be satisfied, not realizing all they've got to do is drink of what God has, and it completes us. There's nothing more that we can have than God. Nothing bigger than that. You know, we can enjoy our journey here on earth so much more if we know where we're going to end up. You know, when you plan your vacation, do any of you, I mean, maybe you do, and it's kind of neat to do that, I guess, but most of us don't just pack our family in a car, and your wife say, where are we going? I don't know. We're just going to go somewhere on vacation. I'll figure it out as I go. I think I'll turn and go east. I think I'll turn on this little road. Here we are, babe, Bates Motel. I don't think we plan that. You know what's fun about going on vacation? It's the journey to get there, ain't it? Coming back stinks. But going's awesome. You know, you're on the way to the beach, you know, you start seeing the land get a little flatter. You get to South Carolina and start seeing the cotton fields and all that, and it gets flat, and you're like, I'm getting closer. Then you start seeing sandy kind of dirt on the side of the road. Oh, I see the sandy stuff. Then I start saying this every time, and whether it's true or not, I don't know. Man, like, can't you tell that's a beach sky? I mean, I'm in Bentonville, South Carolina. Are you kidding me? I say, but don't that look like a beach sky? The clouds look different. Don't it look different? It just looks like you're at the beach. And then you come across, you go, you know, for years I went to Myrtle Beach growing up, and we'd go, you know, across that little road, and you'd go over that crest of the hill over Ocean Drive, and you see that water. And every year I get so excited. Dad would say, here it is, Jake. Here, look. Here it is. And we'd go over that little knoll, and boom! There's the ocean. we're here. Man, the journey was so fun getting there. Even stopping to get breakfast, you were in a different town. It's so cool. You didn't know anybody, and you know, you're just seeing everybody, and you're eating at Bojangles that morning. You're like, man, I'm in South Carolina. You know, on my way to the beach. You got your Bermuda shorts on, your socks up to your knees, you know, if you're old. And it's like, man, I'm on my way to the beach. So exciting. Now, I don't dress that way. I still dress cool. But the journey's what's fun. Because you're wanting to get there so bad. Going to Florida, if you've ever been in Disney World, it's awesome. You get on that Walt Disney Drive, and you're waiting to get to that big gate. If you've ever been there, they got a huge thing over here. It's got, like, pictures of the characters across it. Welcome to Magic Kingdom. And you're like, we're here. It's like Chevy Chase, you know. You just, yes, Wally World. Thank God it never been closed. So you see that. The journey's what's fun. Church, our journey in life is fun if we know where we're ending up. If we know every day I live, I'm closer to that land. Every moment I breathe, I'm a breath closer to that land God has waiting on me. There's one day the portals are going to be open, and I'm going to see, welcome home, my beloved child. Welcome home. And the fireworks are going to go off. The band's going to play. Everything I've waited for, I'm going to experience by the hand of God. That's what's prepared and waiting on me. No land like that land. That's our destiny. Praise God for that. So that's why we can enjoy our journey. Yeah, we got problems. We got pain. We got issues. But man, if think about the ones that don't know where they're going, how much pain they have. Anybody read the sign this morning at church when you pulled in? Anybody read either side? This side. You might know what this first side says, a shorter message. You might remember it. Just talk to God. Just talk to God. I thought, you know, as cars ride by, that's all I need to hear. Just talk to God. If you're going through something, just talk to God. Because here's what happens, whether you believe us or not. When we talk to God, He talks back. It's a two-way communication. He talks back if we learn to listen. How does God talk to me? You hear Him in here. You just hear Him. There's something. God is always trying to get our attention if we'll just open our eyes and see it. I mean, God is in everything we see. In all creation, we see God. Take time to see Him and listen to Him. And what is He trying to tell me? Because He wants you. He wants your heart. It is no desire for God to see anyone perish and rebel against Him and be lost. That is not God's desire. God desires that all come to the knowledge of Him and be saved. We know by Scripture all won't be, because there are those that reject God. They vehemently reject God. And there is no other sacrifice or hope for them if they reject God. I mean, there's nothing else to follow that, church. That's it. It's done. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We will inherit all things. To give you an example, if you had a rich uncle, a millionaire uncle that was on his deathbed, and you went real close to him, but you were in his will, you know what y'all be doing? Uncle, you still breathing? Thought that was the big one. You'd be ever like a vulture. You ever see these buzzards in the air? They fly in circles. You know why? There's something either dead or about to die. Most time about to die. And they're waiting. They're waiting that little possum down there just to choke its last little breath. And they're circling. Is it dead yet, Fred? Nah, I see it wiggle. And they're just circling, waiting. If we knew we were going to inherit $1 million, man, we would be so excited and on fire. We should be excited that we inherit Jesus. First John, I want to find this. It says, he that overcometh. What does that mean? Who are those that overcome? Well, 1 John 5:5 says this. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We don't overcome by our works. That's been mispreached. We can't overcome by our works. Well, if I do enough this, I'll overcome. If I do enough good stuff, I'll overcome. I'll be an overcomer. We can't overcome by our works. None of us are that good. We overcome and are defined as an overcomer by believing that Jesus Christ is Lord And if we place our faith in that and that alone, we are an overcomer and we shall inherit all things that he has waiting on us. Boy, that's good news. He's got something good waiting on each one of us. And that's why we celebrate. This land we one day will cross. As the pilgrims cross the Atlantic, we will cross this life. We have been battered by the storms of life. We have been battered by health problems, by relationship problems, by money problems. We have been battled. Most of us have been battled all of our lives with something. We've endured. We've suffered. We've had pain. We've had torment. We've had hell on earth for some of us. But all that's going to end one day. And all that's going to be dismissed and removed. And we're going to walk into what God has waiting for each one of us. There's no land like that land, flowing with milk and honey. And it's forever and ever and ever. People always ask me, what are we going to do? It's like, forever. That's like boring. What are we going to do? We're going to pray all the time. We're going to read all the time. We're going to eat all the time. I vote for that. I don't know what we're going to do exactly. I just know we're going to live and experience the goodness of God all of our days. And understand, we put time here and time there's not the same at all. We can't measure even the same way. It's like when you dream a dream. I woke up in the morning I went to sleep about probably 11:30-ish, 11:45, about when I dozed off right in there, and I heard banging around in Jamie's room with that puppy, and I woke up, and I thought, man, it's time to get up. I said, well, at least I slept all night without that dog waking me up. So I roll over, look at the clock, it's 1:55. I thought I'd been asleep all night. You had those nights. I've been asleep an hour. And I thought it was morning time because the time skew was so off. I felt like I'd been asleep for 8 hours. But I woke up and it's only 1:55. I'm like, oh, wow, that's great. But then I'm awake. So I'm like, oh, my gosh. That's how time is. You dream a dream. A dream seems to take all night sometimes. You feel like you dream the same dream all night. And they say most dreams only last seconds to a couple minutes. Can I tell you a dream, Melanie? Melanie had a horrible dream. Horrible. She dreamed she was being chased by a macaroni and cheese monster. It was a glump of macaroni and cheese, and it was a monster, and it was after her, and it was going to cheese her. Weird. Medication. Anyway. That was a reason. She was talking about, anyway, but yeah. But there have been dreams I've had where it felt like I fought and struggled with that dream all night. And it only lasts a few minutes or seconds. That's how we can kind of see how time is so different. What seems like 8 hours to us in a dream can be 30 seconds. That's why the Bible says 1,000 years with the Lord is as a day. A day is 1,000 years. The time's not the same. So don't get all freaked out about, what am I going to do forever? Man, I can't do nothing forever. I got ADD. I can't do anything forever. Guess what? Your ADD will be gone too. God take care of that. And you'll be calm and relaxed and just strolling along. Seeing the sights. No land like this land. Think about the fellowship we'll have. I truly believe we'll see all the people in history. All the great saints of God. Can you imagine talking to Daniel? Man, how'd you really feel in that line, Daniel? Come on, Daniel. You a little scared, wasn't you? Come on now. Fess up. You don't say no word, but you were a little nervous, wasn't you? Of course, him being a man, man, I had that. I told them lines, they better sit down and shut up in the name of Jesus, God, Jehovah. Think about the people we're going to encounter and all the history we've lived here, we're going to be realized there. Wow. That's awesome. People say, what about the ones that don't make it? What if I don't see my child? Am I going to know it? I don't think you'll know it. Because if you did, that'd be torment, wouldn't it? So I don't think you'll know if your child don't make it, if your spouse don't make it, if your mom and dad don't make it. You're not going to know those kind of things. You're only going to see what God wants you to see. All of him. All the good stuff. Awesome. Let's finish this up. I know we're running over. One more verse. Verse 8. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. which is the second death. First death's our flesh laying down. The second death's referring to eternal, our soul being eternally lost. See, Jesus makes it very clear for those that don't want to preach hell or think there is no hell. The Bible's pretty clear here. Now, I want to clarify this. This isn't talking about someone that lies one time going to hell. It doesn't talk about someone that, you know, fornicating goes to hell automatically. It's talking about the person that their lifestyle has been defined by rejecting God and living their life for themselves apart from God's direction, saying, you know what, this is who I am. I'm a lying, whoremonging, murdering creep. You're going to have your place, the Bible says, in the lake which burneth with fire. This means you're going to be eternally separated from God. It's a very sobering thought, isn't it, to think about that. God's not a bad God. God's a loving God. He did all he could do. I mean, think about this. He saved our lives. What if Joe Brown saved Gail's life? They're walking down the road. A transfer truck's coming down the street. Joe pushes Gail out of the way, and he gets killed. And Gail is saved. And then Gail still doesn't honor Joe Brown. He still curses at him and swears at him and talks about him and rejects his life. He'd be a fool, wouldn't he? He saved my life. I don't care how bad Joe was to Ed or how bad Joe was to Charles, how bad Joe was to Ralph. He saved my life. And I'll always honor him for that. Jesus saved our life. He did all he could do. So we still curse him or reject him or say, I don't believe in you, and do our own thing. There is no God. It's a big mythical fairy tale, blah, 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 blah. He can't do any more than what he's done. So God's not the bad guy. God did everything he could to save your life. We got to listen to that. Same way, I mean, we got to listen to that. Same way with your children. You tell Abby, if you do that, you're grounded. And she does it, and you ground her. Because I feel like you would. I feel like you would carry that out. You ground her. Mama, you're so mean. I mean, what was the rule? Did I tell you? See, you need to make them repeat it. What did I tell you? What did I tell you? Be home by 8, okay? What time did you get home? 8:30, okay? Who's the bad guy? Hello? I'm not mean. You didn't do what I said. So you pay a price. God's not the bad guy. He did all he could do. We have a land waiting on us. The only way we get there, make Jesus your Lord. Say, God, I want you to be my king, and I give you my life because I don't want my life to end up lost from you. When I leave this earth, I want to know where I'm going, and I want to know I'm going to be with you forever. Let's stand to our feet. Say a prayer with the church this morning. Father, we thank you for the land you've given us, the kingdom of God. It's forever. Those of us who have placed our faith in you, we're going to be there. We've read the story, Lord, read what you said about this place. Just a very brief description of some things we can expect. And God, we thank you for that. For the hearts in here that have not made you, Lord, who are questioning that, who have even rebelled against that, who have rejected that name, soften the hearts to hear your voice today, that they will know that the only way they will escape not being with you is by accepting you and what you did for us at the cross. You paid the price. We have nothing to do with it, God. You paid the price for us, for our freedom. You died that I could be righteous. You died that I could be blameless and spotless in your sight, not by how I live, but by what you did for me, God. You did all the work, and I get all the benefit. I just need to believe in you, Lord, and confess you as my Savior. There's a land waiting for each of us, Lord, and we are so waiting eagerly and expecting for that full redemption of soul, body, and mind to walk in that place. I want to say a special prayer for our brother Virgil as he is suffering, as he can't talk and don't know how much more time here on the earth that he has. But Lord, usher to that bedroom of his as he lays right now a sweet presence of the Holy Spirit. Blow in his room, God, a gentle breath of your voice that he can let go and realize that he has your hand as you usher him to that other side of healing for his life. Lord, thank you for that land that we have waiting, and we give you praise and honor. For those that don't know you, speak to their hearts, God. You're not going to make anybody do anything, but Lord, you do speak to us, and we have a choice to respond or to reject. Let us respond to your gentle voice and say, yes, Jesus. Yes, I want you as my Lord and Savior. And let this be the beginning of a brand new life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Melanie, come to you to close out song for our offering, just whatever.